CliffCentral.com. Okay, so Anthea, first of all, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
How was your holiday?
Fresh, relaxed. I stayed here, didn't do very much, kind of just caught up with myself, really, which is what I needed to do.
Same here, and it was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Oh, it was hot. The weather.
Sure.
I did some exercise, hurt myself, the usual.
How did you hurt yourself?
No, I'm swim training. Just rotator cuff nonsense. It's the usual, like nothing, no surprise. And that was my holiday. Had some friends round, went round to friends.
Did the same thing.
Pretty much. Yeah. But how nice was it?
You know, it's such a weird thing. Like I it's the first year that I haven't gone anywhere at all. And I thought I was quite apprehensive about it before Christmas. But it was fantastic. Like I woke up in my own bed every single day. And I woke up when I wanted to in my
own bed.
That's
rather dull.
Which was fantastic. I'm sorry, you didn't.
Ooh, girl.
But it's nice. Like, you get to really see what kind of a routine you would like going forward. And you get to plan stuff for the new year without putting pressure on yourself. It doesn't feel like it's pressure when you're at home. You know, no one wants to think about that stuff when you're actually away.
And you're really kind of... You give yourself space to think as well, right? Uh-huh. So you give yourself a bit of, without the pressure of like, oh, I have to do this. What's going to happen? Oh, it's so nice. And I could read research reports in my own leisurely time.
Well, that's where we branch
dull.
Off.
Okay.
Talk about dull.
I can actually see Anthea curled up on the couch enjoying that. That's your moment of bliss.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's where we branch off and we're doing different things. All right, so here it is, The Money Shot with Anthea Gardner. Brand new decade, a brand new year. And we're going to start off with a little market performance review. We'll look at the best and the worst performing stocks on the JSE. We'll look at what is coming up in the next few months and some company-specific news, too.
Right.
She works hard for her money. Here's Anthea. So what's up? Don't worry, I'm just
playing
your song.
Thought you were playing my song.
I am playing your song. We always play your song. I've just killed it now. You take off the headphones.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Clearly, holiday brainstorm.
Yeah, we're
moving
getting
along.
Into
right.
It.
So, where were we? Last year, the all-share index finished 8.2% up, which is a little bit short of the 15% that the MSCI Emerging Markets Index did. So not the best performing stock market in emerging markets. The currency was about 2% stronger for the year. Definitely one of the best performing emerging market currencies. Unbelievable stuff. Was it last week? No, where am I? Kind of still time, trying to figure out my timeline here. At the beginning of last week, before the Iran attack, the Rand dollar exchange rate was 13.94, which is like unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. So I've got some friends overseas, and so I said to them, you need to spend a bit more because the Rand's really strong.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, gifts. And then, of course, we had the Iran attack on Friday, and the Rand's
wasn't
now
an Iran
gone.
Attack. It was an attack on an Iranian in Iraq.
My right. Apologies.
Yeah.
I'm just taking shortcuts
sounds,
here.
No, I know, but it sounds like America's attacked Iran, and that's why people are going, oh, World War III. I'm not spreading panic this year, so we're going to get everything right.
Okay, that one, before that attack.
An attack on a terrorist Iranian in Iraq. Let's be very particular about this.
Okay.
And what were the responses from the market?
The emerging market, it really became a risk-off. Emerging market currencies just plummeted. Our Rand went to 14.24 against the US dollar from below 13.
And commensurate then, obviously, gold went up.
Gold and oil spiked. Right. Oil is now over $70 a barrel from...
We've been here before. Let's again, no panic.
We have been here before, but we don't like it, right? Because as South African consumers, we're a little bit short on free cash flow at the moment. And a higher oil price does mean a higher petrol price. And a weaker rand combined means even higher oil price because we import our oil or petrol. So there you go. So it's not great for us. So the indices last year, the kind of worst performers were the financial shares that were down 4%. The industrials were up 9%, which was great. And then the resource index was up 20%. I mean, that's going to point to the top 10 performers, right? The top 10 performers on the JSE last year, Impala Platinum was up 291%.
Wow, nice for them.
How did that kind of happen?
Is this just because platinum prices were good, or is it because the mining sector in general is finding new ways to realign its business, to figure out more cost-effective strategies? I mean, mining is improving in increments.
So I'll answer that by giving you the rest of the top 10. How's
okay,
that?
All right.
So Sibanye Gold, up 258%. Mm. Northern Platinum, 186%. Anglo-American Platinum, 143%.
Wow.
DRD Gold, 140%. Harmony Gold, 103%. Royal Bafokeng Platinum, up 99%. Goldfields, up 94%. Anglo Gold Ashanti, up 74%. And then Lowly Little Cartrack, up 69%.
But
the top nine
were all platinum
and gold, yes. And so absolutely, that was a rally on the platinum shares. And these companies also produce palladium. And if you look at the chart of palladium, and I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but if you look at the chart of palladium spot over the last 10 years compared to the other metals, you'll see that palladium has far outstripped or outperformed any of the metals, although all of them are fairly much higher.
I've got about 5 grams of palladium. What should we do with it, Anthea?
Sell it. No, I wasn't sure about that was like my
5 grams is not a lot, Anthea. We're not going to be able to retire on that.
So I think it's trading, what's it now, about 1,000, let's say it's trading over $1,000 an ounce, so you can go and figure out what that's worth to you.
Yeah.
So it's been a really great year, and I think the question everyone's asking now is pretty much what you're saying. If I have these shares in my portfolio, what must I do with them? Must I take profits? My view is the rally's not over. I think there's still a bit to go. So, and people say to me, for how long must I hold it? Well, I don't know. Let's watch the market carefully. But if you're predicting out into the future, and I would say you're probably predicting, it's easy to predict, I'd say, 3 to 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing much changes over 3 to 6 months. I can't tell you what's going to happen in a year. I think 3 to 6 months, those shares are still going to be steady, if not consistently higher, especially your gold shares with hashtag World War III.
Oh, paranoia.
Yeah.
Hold on to them for a bit longer. And then the worst performing shares, so the quantums weren't as big as the best performing shares, thank goodness. But again, you'll see a trend here. Massmart down 50%, Nampak down 51%, Steinhoff down 51%, as if it could fall any further. Blue Label Telecom down 52%, Break down 54%, PPC down 58%, EOH Holdings down 59%, Ascendus Healthcare down 63%, ArcelorMittal down 65%, and Into Properties, which is mostly a property company that has mostly UK and European exposure, down 70%. So 70% down compared to the Impala Platinum, which was up 291%.
Wow.
Is great. And the trend in the shares that didn't perform were, in fact, and I mean, I think some of them not so obvious. These were shares that were highly leveraged with balance sheets that had so much debt on it that it actually couldn't withstand any kind of shake in the economy or shake in their revenue. And things were difficult. So PPC, EOH, well, theirs was very company specific. I mean, all sorts of things going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And these are companies we've spoken about regularly because they hit the news, right?
Yeah,
so you recognize the names.
So in other words, this isn't coming out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm surprised, like, the one company that kind of has held itself quite well is MTN. Through last year, they had so much drama. In fact, they finished the year off with drama because the U.S. alleged that they had violated the U.S. Anti-Terrorism Act by paying protection money to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Pakistan.
For being able to operate in Pakistan.
In those areas, yeah. So, of course, the U.S. is seeking damages for military members and civilians killed or wounded in Afghanistan. Sorry, not Pakistan, Afghanistan. What's wrong with me? And then, of course, MTN are going to try and fight it. And they've just had a change of chairman. Patuman Schleke was replaced by, somebody's going to have to Google that for me, so somebody well known, and his name escapes me right now. As you can see, I'm just like talking off the
cuff. I'm the Googler here.
Thank you, Sia.
MTN chairperson is?
Ncebisi Jonas. No. Ncebisi Jonas is
a
new chairman.
Yes, it was somebody well known. Yeah, there we go.
Well, this is in May of, yeah.
Oh, that was the announcement, but it's only the change only
it was effective
at the end of last
on,
year.
From the 15th of December, yes.
Sure, look at you, Sia. Just he's our live-in encyclopedia.
Okay, researcher of note.
Well, also Dr. Khotso Mokele, you know, of course you know who that is. he will assume the responsibilities of lead independent director.
It goes without saying.
You guys knew that, right?
It goes without saying.
As my dad would say, oh, did you Google it?
Google it.
And so
despite all of that news, MTN not doing too badly?
No, it's not doing great, I'm afraid. I mean, we were looking for a share price of between 105 and 110 rand. Last time I checked, it was trading at 84 rand.
Okay, maybe time to get out of there.
but you know, we were kind of like, oh, we're going to buy when it's really cheap. And well, now it's cheaper.
But you're cheap, not rushing to buy, are you?
Cheap today, cheaper than yesterday.
See, I just don't see what the runway is for these guys.
That's unfortunately...
And the same goes for Vodacom and for Cell C.
And Telkom.
And for Telkom. I don't see the runway. I mean, they obviously are the providers of something which we've become... it's become a part of everything that we do, the internet. These guys are service providers.
And it's essential, right? Essential
right, but the prices are being driven down.
Right,
and there are international people entering the market. They are not in charge of the content. They never have been. So they're just a pipeline. And how much are you willing to pay for the pipe that brings the water to your house? You don't even think about the pipe. You pay for the water. So we'll see how this goes.
So with MTN, I guess the excitement last year was the new CEO, Rob Shooter, right? And that we knew he was a banking guy and that he was bringing in all his banking cronies. Right. And that potentially he could turn it around and they've got this great footprint across Africa, blah, 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 blah. You know the story, right? I mean, this reminds me of Africanacity or Standard Bank or... Anyway, we'll see what happens. And so then just very quickly to recap, I don't have the final hashtag invest numbers. Well, I do on my spreadsheet, but I'm not allowed to say them until they are confirmed by a third-party provider. But considering that the JSE was up 8%, our hashtag invest portfolios did okay. Our conservative and our growth and income portfolios, the two, were up above 7% last time I checked, which was November. So hopefully they'll be up more in December. The growth was up 8 and the aggressive growth was up 12. So very much in line with performance. Thank you, Sia. And very much risk adjusted. So we're not taking too much risk. These portfolios haven't been jumping around through the year. They've been nice and consistent, which is what you want. You know, mm-hmm. if you're going to outperform the index by tens of percentages, then the point is that you're taking additional risk.
Okay.
And then going forward, I think what's on everyone's mind, hashtag World War III, not that we want to be, we don't want to be scaremongers. But yeah, I think that is a real big concern for the markets at the moment. We don't know where we're going, and especially emerging markets with this risk-off sentiment. Like, no investor is going to be investing in risky assets. They're going to run to oil and to gold and fixed income sort of bonds. U.S. government bonds are probably considered the most or the least risky.
Will you make up your mind?
Oh, dear.
It's going to be a long 2020.
It is, right?
Anthea's starting the year not entirely sure whether she's giving us advice to buy or sell, which is scary.
Oh, dear. Not a good place to be. And then we've got the budget coming up as well, which I think is going to be South Africa's big story. I don't know how they would have turned this budget around. I can't see anything that shows me that government would have turned the budget around. And if they haven't turned it around, there is no doubt in my mind that Moody's is going to downgrade us.
Hmm.
And so, of course, we'll see a bit of a sell-off. You know, South African bonds are already trading at junk status. So we'll see this knee-jerk reaction where the bonds get sold off, equities get sold off, nobody knows what's going on, interest rates spike a little, and then it all normalizes. That's my feeling on this. Hmm. So all this kind of scaremongering about the kind of, you know, but we get right. We fall out of the world government bond index.
Don't panic! Don't panic!
Run!
Why? It's that kind of day, is it? Mm-hmm. And then two big news stories overseas. Travis Kalanick, who's the co-founder of Uber, has severed all ties with the company, sold all his shares, and taken home his $3 billion worth
good
of cash.
Good for him. Now, can you imagine $3 billion of cash? We talk about people who are billionaires, right? They don't have that money in cash.
Mm-hmm.
This guy actually has that money in cash.
He's converted his paper profits to real money.
And also, he's so sick of being the devil. Every time anything bad happens with Uber, he used to get the blame. I mean, there was a lot of controversy with the last year and a half of how it's been managed and what's been going on there. But this guy invented a service which I used 20 times over the holidays. God bless you, Travis Kalanick. God bless you. You are entitled to your $3 billion.
Retire in peace.
Do whatever you want with it.
Underpaid. Okay, so do you want to know what he's going to do?
Tell me.
He's going to start creating ghost kitchens, or dark kitchens, they call them, you know, for delivery, like Uber Eats and Takeaway.com.
Right.
And yeah. So they have dark kitchens. They call them dark kitchens.
Sounds.
I don't like that term.
Yeah, it's not very appetizing. Where are you going to order supper from, Mom?
Dark kitchen.
Well, no, that's not how it works. But okay.
So food on demand.
Yes.
Cooked meals on demand.
Yes,
but
given like recipes like so. Think about these restaurant chains. Think about Spur.
Mm-hmm.
All their sauces get made in one place. And all they do is deliver the sauce to the restaurant. The griller puts the meat on the grill, pours the sauce over it. Sorry, Sia, because I know you're vegetarian. And it's the same in every single restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's what he's going to do for the delivery services business. So at the moment, in South Africa especially, if you order a delivery takeaway, the driver will drive to the restaurant, collect the food, and drive it to your house. And if you order from three places, by the time it gets to you, the third one is cold. And so what they do with these dark kitchens is they put them all together, in a big warehouse, and they make your recipe of your food, and they offer very specific, right?
Okay.
So you could have a Spur burger from a dark kitchen. You could have a Pad Thai Simply Asia from a dark kitchen, from the same
beautiful
dark kitchen.
Oh, wow.
I love it. So in other words, you can go to 10 restaurants in one night, and it'll all arrive on time at the same place. And it'll probably be cheaper because they'll be able to standardize it across all of them.
Hopefully, yes. That's the other
thing. So this is obviously bad news for all the existing chains because they will either have to license that stuff.
That's exactly right. So they will indeed. They'll have to license it because he can't copy a Spur sauce or a Simply Asia noodle dish. He has to get the recipe from them. And he potentially even maybe has to bring in one of their chefs or one of their grillers.
So then technically no one has to lose from this. It's another win-win.
Oh, it's an absolute win. Yeah. It's a great thing.
The customer wins. The suppliers win.
He's bloody clever, hey?
Yeah, he's bloody clever.
And underpaid. Only $3 billion. And he gave us Uber.
Yeah, I should get more.
Underpaid.
I agree.
And then the last news story is Carlos Ghosn, who's the ex-CEO of Nissan. I mean, I'd like to say Carlos Ghosn, actually, because you get it? He ran. He fled Japan.
Why did he flee? Are they after him?
Yes. So the U.S.-Japanese law system, lawmakers, or whatever you want to call them, have got him up for charges of underreporting his earnings, so he got paid a lot more than he said he had got paid, and misuse of the company assets.
So has he just gone dark? We can't find him?
No, he's in Lebanon, he says. In fact, this is what he said. I am now in Lebanon and will no longer be held hostage by a rigged Japanese justice system.
Wow.
Where guilt is presumed, discrimination is rampant, and basic human rights are denied.
Well, you've chosen a shitty time to be in the Middle East, my friend.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the big story is how he got out, because he had previously been arrested, and he was under, out on bail, I guess. And, you know, then you're not allowed to escape. So there's a great picture on the day he fled, I think it was last Tuesday, of him walking out of his house. And that's the last he was seen. Nobody knows where he went from there. Okay. Yeah, apparently he got a private jet out.
What an exciting story. CliffCentral.com.